This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Everything you learned in history class was a lie. Well, maybe not everything, but they skipped the best parts. Introducing Stupiracy, where stupidity meets conspiracy. Ever heard of the Olympic marathon that nearly killed its runners, or the time a pope put another pope's corpse on trial? Join me, Scott Rizzuto, and Tim McKernan as we uncover the most outrageous historical moments and mind-blowing conspiracies you won't believe actually happened. Tune in to Stupiracy for your weekly dose of historical absurdity. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, history is dumb, but laughing at it is smart.
I have not been to Minnesota in probably 20 years.
Bring gas.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Here he is, Kyle Tige himself, back in the house on Flagrant Howls. And for 2 years, Kyle, we've called this a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. It's kind of our tagline here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we have to get rid of that, because I do think it's a good kind of overarching theme for the podcast. It's a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. But I feel like I should put a Joe Ingles appreciation podcast up for vote here. Like, if we said Flagrant Howls, a Joe Ingles appreciation podcast, do you think that could catch on?
I think it's not as catchy, but maybe it'll catch on with, you know, we have a growing fan base in Australia after we had,
Shane Heal.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big podcast in Australia. I don't know about the States anymore, but I'm credit to you, because you're people don't know this.
I brokered this.
You are legitimately plugged in to the inner workings of the Timberwolves front office. You know people, you have lunch dates and have beverages, and you were on that Joe Ingles thing kind of first, and then, a couple hours after we recorded or whatever?
I get 10% commission off this, actually.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
Agent fees, you're probably going to get like $100,000, but maybe you can help buy the team from Glenn. Really cool signing. I was excited. When you said the name and you listed 10 guys or so last week, I do think Joe Ingles was one of the guys. I was like, yep.
Yeah, we both were. By the way, Jubb was in. The entire cast of Flagrant Howls made this happen. I feel
proud of us. We are rebuilding the team one step at a time. And after losing Kyle, you know, it's at a minimum, Dane Moore and I kind of talked about this earlier this week, but at a minimum, all you're really trying to do is find a guy that has one legitimate skill. And Joe Ingles can shoot the hell out of the ball. 43% from three last year, was asked to do a lot on a really fun up-and-coming Orlando Magic team, but a team that did not have a lot of playmakers, did not even have a lot of shooting. Their guards are more what I would call like combo guards. You know, Jalen Suggs is awesome. He's not a point guard. Markel Fultz, you know, is more of a scorer than a passer. So I don't know what's left in him in terms of in the tank, but he did play with not only Rudy and Mike Conley, but he also played with Nikhil in Utah. So really good signing. I kind of joke, but it was perfect because Kyle Anderson, I think, left Wednesday morning before the 4th, signs with Golden State. Then they signed Joe Ingles, and then Tim Connelly just said, hey, you know what? Let's just throw PJ Dozier in the mix, call it a week. Everyone can go have an extended weekend. So that's the type of boss you want to work for, is a guy that gets all his projects submitted by Wednesday afternoon so everyone can go have a four-day weekend.
I did not get a chance to listen to, I think you and Dane posted yesterday, kind of recapping. But I did see like a social media tease. You guys asked the question, are the Wolves better than they were before? Can you just summarize? I don't want to spoil the. Go listen to the episode, Daymore NBA podcast with Kyle. But where did you guys stand on are the Wolves better after the offseason here?
So we know this by now, but Dane is smarter than me, and Dane is more bullish on the Joe Ingles signing than I am. I think Kyle's offensive ineptitude last year was a bummer and dragged this team down. But his defense is probably better than Ingles' offense, in my opinion. So I'm a little lower on him, even though I'm hyped that you and I got him signed to the team. Dane's pretty big on him. And then we kind of went back and forth. And this is my overarching point for the offseason. And I have to probably do a better job of outlining it. But Phil, if next season the Wolves took a half step back in, let's say, the regular season, I'm okay with that. Because I've said to you earlier, the Wolves, the fan base, the organization has kind of graduated now from being a laughingstock to now they're either just a good team or a borderline contender. And I'm not going to be super, super focused on trying to win more regular season games next year than they won this past year. Because I think they need to see what they have in the younger guys. And I don't just mean some of the ones that have been here. Like, obviously, Rob Dillingham is going to play. He's the 8th overall pick. He's making $6 million a year. He's going to, by all accounts, back up Mike Conley on night one in October. But I also want to see what Terrence Shannon Jr. has. Josh Minot, you know, Jalen Clark fully recovered from his Achilles injury. So I just would rather, and this kind of ties into the Ingles thing, I would rather let some of the young guys get some burn early in the season at the expense of a win or two, because you're going to need the more veteran guys, if the young guys don't pan out, you're going to need the veteran guys come April, May, and June when you're trying to win a title because you're a contender. And a random thing that makes me think of this that I think is actually concerning while also awesome, Mike Conley played 76 games last year. The last time he played that many games was 2012. He was 25. Like, it's awesome that he toughed it out and he established a culture for all the young guys. I think the team should get a thumbs down if he plays more than 65 games next year. They need to manage him. You know why? Because Mike Conley was real banged up come that Western Conference Finals trip and was kind of dragging that leg around. So it's something minor like that, but I just hope the young guys get a little more burn early in the season to see what they got, because you don't want to run into a Denver situation, end of rant, where all of a sudden you're on the hook and you need the young guys to contribute and you don't know if they're ready.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that was a lot. Whew.
No, just to sum it up, you think they're going to be worse, you're pessimistic, and you'd rather have Kyle Anderson than Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, if you could have, for just this upcoming season, or let's say for the next 2 years, or, I mean, Ingles is 37. Let's just say for this season. Would you rather have Joe Ingles or Kyle Anderson for this next season?
You're good at this. This is where I speak out of both sides of my mouth. I would rather have Joe Ingles.
Okay.
And I'm not even worried about costs or ever, because I keep coming back to this team was essentially the best defense all of last year.
Yeah.
Tops. But basically like 17th in offense for the most part. Now that's, you know, some people would argue that's just about average. I would argue that that's bad. 17th offense in the league is bad. So
it is bad. Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to win a championship.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So if you can bring it down to, okay, they lose Kyle and all the defensive stuff he brought, and now you're like 5th in the league in defense, 6th in the league in defense, but you bump up from 17th to 11th in offense just because Joe Ingles is a sniper. You've also just added via the draft more shooting in Rob Dillingham, and I guess we're calling him TJ now. So I want this team to be more of an offensive threat, because that's what did them in, I think, in the Western Conference Finals. So I know that I'm sad about losing Kyle, but I actually am happy, even though I'm less excited than others. I think Joe Ingles over Kyle Anderson for next year.
So, you know, I would, to be clear, I would take Joe Ingles, because okay. here, there's so many different, let's kind of stay on this subject of, are they better? And I want to go down the Kyle Anderson, Joe Ingles thing for a second, because, you know, we are talking about filling out the rotation and we're talking about tweaking the peripheral edges of a team that was one of the four last remaining standing teams, right? So no longer are we talking about how can they find a superstar player that can lead their team, right? That was the discussion for 20 years. But I think no matter what you feel about Ingles versus Kyle Anderson, this team has a lot more upside because of Rob Dillingham and what he could wind up being, even as a 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. So in the short term, like, if he comes out and he can give you, you know, 10 to 15 points a night as a rookie, which I wouldn't rule that out, by the way. I think they're going to give him a chance to play 15, 20 minutes, and we'll see how much patience Chris Finch has. Like, adding another scorer like that, even as a rookie, even as a 19-year-old, gives this offense more upside. And Terrence Shannon Jr., you know, whatever offense he brings. I'm okay with not having the number one defensive net rating in the league next year. Like, I don't think the goal should be preserve the absolute ironclad number one defense in the league. If you can drop back to like fourth or fifth best, maybe a top five defense, but better shooting, better offensive shot creation with some of these players you've added, and you go from 17th to 8th or 9th offensively, I think you could wind up having a worse defensive team that's a better overall team in the end with Joe Ingles playing 12, 15 minutes. The other thing, too, is Kyle Anderson, if you believe the basketball reference sort of position percentages, which it's kind of gray because basketball is so positionless now, but
yeah.
The Wolves had him playing like 55% at the three versus 8% at the three the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wolves were actually 2 points better per 100 possessions when he was off the court last year than when he was on the court. And so, I mean, he's kind of a perfect acquisition for the Warriors. He can be kind of a diet Draymond Green. Like, they can bond over hating Rudy Gobert at one point in their lives. And they can both just go out there and, like, do all the dirty work and get other guys open to shoot threes, get Steph Curry open to shoot threes and Buddy Hield. Like, he's probably going to be playing a lot more at the four with Golden State. And I don't know that the Wolves, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you've got Kat and Naz Reid, and obviously Gobert is going to be out there too, like, are you going to go back? If you had Kyle Anderson this year, are you going to go back to playing him at the four a lot more often? I don't know. Or at the five? I mean, dude, he was playing his last year in Memphis. Kyle Anderson was playing 30% of his minutes at the five.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's more meant to play the four and the five. And the Wolves have kind of said, oh, we got to shoehorn you in as a three and the offense is going to suffer. So, like, long point longer. I love the swap Ingles for Kyle Anderson while also acknowledging Kyle Anderson was a huge reason why this team got to 50 wins and made the jump the last couple of years. He was a perfect utility player fit, a leader behind the scenes. But I love the Joe Ingles move. I love it.
I think it's okay sometimes to just be like, hey, I've eaten a lot of that food for a while, and now I'm just kind of burnt out, and I just want to try something different.
Now we want to try a Vegemite sandwich. That's what we want to try.
Now that sounds terrible. But yeah, now I'm just going to try something different.
Some Fosters.
Right. It's like the mystery box boat thing that I always bring up. But I am ready for the mystery box, even though the boat, which was Kyle Anderson, was really good for 2 years. Like, he still is, in my opinion, the best free agent signing in Wolves franchise history. That list is not that good. But what he did filling in for Carl at the four in year one when Carl missed 52 games was really why they, in my mind, kind of made the playoffs. Ant was good too, and some of the other guys. But then last year when he kind of got downshifted to more of a three, it's just not really his position. I do think in Golden State, my one concern is that there's, in my mind, no way him and Draymond can play together because they're kind of the same person.
Yeah, be hilarious.
But if you get 48 minutes of that, Kyle Anderson's going to play the five in Golden State, and I've liked some of the moves they've made after losing Klay. So, also worth noting, he got 3 years, $27 million. I know that third year is a team option, but he probably saw this as one more opportunity to get paid, especially when the NBA's middle class is kind of getting squeezed out in this new CBA. So, legitimately, he had interest to stay here. The team wanted to stay here. I know his family really liked being in Minnesota, but if they were offering him, let's say, $3 million and he could go get $9 million in the Bay, props to him. He will be remembered. This team probably could retire his jersey for, again, there's not a lot of other jerseys up there. But I'm excited for the Ingles experience because, to me, the Ingles experience ties into Terrence Shannon Jr., who's also, a shooter and left-handed. And I just want to see this team lean into more offense. And again, I've done a bad job of saying this. I don't think they're going to take a half step back next year. They could actually be the best team in the West by a 4-game margin. I'm simply saying that if they do take a half step back because they kind of want to see what they've got deeper in their bench, I'm okay with that because, to me, this is a contending team. You listen to any national podcast now, Simmons, The Athletic, whatever, they talk about the contending teams in the West and they bring up four of them, and it's the Wolves, it's the Mavs, it's Denver, and it's OKC. So they've graduated.
And Denver,
it's a different life now.
Denver's not.
Oh,
Denver's, and they've eroded the last couple years.
Yeah.
Wait, so can aliens really be among us? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host and creator of UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you just started to become interested in the subject or have been investigating it for years, this is the show for you. UAP has become one of the most popular podcasts in the world covering the subject. Don't miss out as I bring you exclusive interviews with some of the biggest names in this field, as well as mind-bending stories that will leave you wondering what the truth really is. Download and subscribe to the Unidentified Alien Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search UAP.
I've got some. I mean,
they're kind of an NBA version of Purdue, if you ask me. They are now.
I watched Zach Edey play last night, and he, by the way, Zach, there was a Godzilla versus Kong last night matchup in the Salt Lake City Summer League, not the Las Vegas Summer League, but it was Zach Edey from Purdue, drafted by the Grizzlies a couple picks after Rob Dillingham, and he looked great, and he was going up, and I was shocked. I almost sent like six tweets, but I was like, you know what? I've had a glass of wine. Just don't do it. Walker Kessler, who is better than Rudy Gobert, playing in year three of Summer League. That's tough. That's tough. Also, yeah, Walker Kessler rumored to be worth a first-round pick in trade negotiations, while he's better than the guy that went for five first-round picks. So I don't know. I don't know how that all
works. We need a sarcasm font for those of you that are taking Kyle literally here, just in case. What is so? Yeah, Summer League, man. Friday, ESPN2, 4 p.m. Central Time, and then they play four scheduled games every other day. They'll be on ESPN2, then NBA TV, and then I think their fourth game's on ESPN, the mothership. But yeah, this is, I mean, it's a culmination of three factors here. It's Summer League has become a major thing in the past 10 years. It's become, and you're going to be out there, and we'll get a recap from you. I don't know what your exact schedule is, but we'll figure out, like, we'll soak in a lot of Kyle Tige stories. Last year, I mean, you were playing blackjack with Anthony Edwards at one point.
That was the coolest day. Great. We got to get that in Chris Hine book. Just Ant playing minimum table blackjack.
Trash talking the dealer.
$200 million contract extension. But yeah, I'll be out in Vegas. I'm going out there, hanging out with Dane all weekend and go to a couple games, get a lot of interviews, do some pods, and then I'll report back. Next week is also when I close on my house. So
it's a big week for
shout out to my wife, because not a lot of not a lot of good times to be going to Vegas, you know, 3 days before you're supposed to close on a house. But here we are.
But we've got the NBA over the last 10 years. Summer League has become just this mecca for young players, but also the entire league sort of descends upon Las Vegas. And then number two, the Wolves are really good and really interesting and moved up the number eight pick to get Dillingham. And then number three, there's just like six or seven, maybe even eight interesting players on this Wolves Summer League roster. I mean, obviously Dillingham and Terrence Shannon Jr. Then there's the old veterans, the Summer League veterans, the Leonard Miller, Josh Minot. I mean, Jalen Clark is going to make his Timberwolves debut 100% cleared from the Achilles tendon injury. He was the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year in college basketball two seasons ago. There's the 22-year-old French kid. I think it's pronounced Nadir Hefi, who played with Rudy Gobert on the French Olympic team. Sort of, he didn't make the final cut for the roster, but he was one of the best players on the best French league team that won EuroCup. The Paris team that won EuroCup last year. The Wolves have him on the Summer League team. So I don't know, man. Like, if there's other names in here that you're going to be watching, but I'm just excited to watch Wolves Summer League basketball starting on Friday.
Listeners know I can get a little hyperbolic, because I was about to be like, hey, man, that what you just said, this is like the best Summer League team of all time.
If they don't win the Summer League championship, should heads roll? Should heads roll?
They should be sold again. But before I brought this up to Dane, but I want to say it to you too, because you'll recognize a lot of these names. I just think it's crazy. But the 2017 Lakers Summer League team had Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Zubac, and then PJ Dozier, who just signed with the Wolves. But that team was loaded. This Wolves team, I was thinking about this. I haven't really done this exercise, but of all the names you listed, and I don't think, I'm sure this wasn't reported yet because it's Summer League and they have a couple more days of practice, but who do you think starts? Not that it matters, but like, who do you think? You know, Deshaun Nix is on that
team too.
I need
to pull up the rest of the roster.
He's had like an NBA, you know, life. Like, he's a little more established. So some combination of like him and Rob, I would imagine Jalen Clark, Leonard Miller, Josh Minot.
Who's the center? He's like 25. Jesse Edwards.
Okay.
So he's the West Virginia. I think he played in Europe for a couple of years, but like he was a double double his last 2 years in college. Javonte Cook.
He's like
25 years old too, man.
And I've been to Summer League now probably like 10 straight years. Some of these guys just aren't going to play. So you might recognize, like, there's a kid named Gabe who I think
Gabe Kelscher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was a Gopher. It's funny because as a freshman with the Gophers, he was one of the best shooters in the conference. He shot like 40-some percent from three. And then he just like forgot how to shoot for a couple years. He was like 20% from three-point range. Then he transfers to Iowa State and kind of has a resurgence. But, yeah, he's on the summer league team.
But great kid. Hope he gets a chance. But as I'm reminded, these rosters are deep. But, like, half of these guys probably won't play. But the Deshaun Nix thing, the reason I bring him up is because I kind of thought, like, okay, the starting lineup will be – again, we're talking starting lineups at summer league. So we are really in peak offseason mode. But, like, Rob Dillingham, Jalen Clark, Terrence Shannon Jr., Leonard Miller, Josh Minot, that seems like a fun starting five. But, you know, if Deshaun Nix is in there, how does that start? So one of the guys that you just named that you might be, as a fan, really excited about watching might even come off the bench. So another thing, too, and you know this, being a longtime Minnesota sports fan and covering these teams, we always used to look at this as like our one hope as a fan base of like, okay, this next week is our Super Bowl because can our high lottery pick, you know, show us something? Well, they do have a high lottery pick, but I'm actually excited to see guys like Leonard Miller in year two, Josh Minot in kind of a make or break year three. Yeah. What do these guys have? How have they, you know, marinated, been seasoned in Iowa? Because to my half step back point, I think at least two of these guys need to hit long term for this roster, or more importantly, the salary cap sheet to kind of balance out. Because if you can get real rotation production out of a guy making $1 million a year, that is kind of the cheat code right now for this new CBA.
Okay, here's an exercise. I'm going to give you a handful of players here, young players. These guys are 25 or younger.
Okay.
I want you to rank them in order of who you think will or should get the most minutes in the regular season with the Timberwolves. You might have to write these down. I don't know if you can remember these. Okay. So Terrence Shannon Jr., Jalen Clark, Josh Minot, Leonard Miller, and then I'm gonna throw Luka Garza in the exercise. He's not on the summer league team, but
okay.
So of those five players, which ones do you think will or should get the most regular season run in the rotation?
I actually think it's kind of easy. And just for the listener, Phil is not including Rob Dillingham because by all accounts, I think we expect him to get force-fed 18 to 20 minutes, or you know, maybe that's a little high, maybe like 16 to 18 minutes, backing up Mike Conley. They haven't really addressed the backup point guard. They lose Jordan McLaughlin to Sacramento. I really think once it's all said and done, I'll rank those, but Terrence Shannon Jr. has the best chance, in my opinion, on July 9th. Like, let's see these guys play a little bit. But I think he's the most NBA ready. He's a little older of a rookie. He signed to like, you know, a good, they did sign both rookies yesterday, by the way. So that was kind of a noteworthy item. But yeah, I think his shooting, his ability to attack the rim, we'll see what his defense is like kind of in an NBA setting. I think that's also like Josh Minot's biggest question mark is I think Josh can help side defend and protect the rim, but I don't know what Josh is like in a one-on-one kind of defensive matchup. But I would say TJ has the best chance to find himself into the rotation. Then probably Josh, based on seniority. Then Leonard Miller, then Luka Garza, then Jalen Clark. I think before Rob Dillingham was drafted, the most excited player on the team was Jalen Clark for me. I think he's an awesome kid. I got to hang out with him in Vegas a little bit. He's just really smart, loves basketball, and he's hasn't played in a year, and I think that can kind of kill you as a young guy to be like, I just want to get out there. So I always kind of comp him as like the next Nikhil, and I think he'll be groomed to maybe fill that Nikhil Alexander role next season when Nikhil's up for a contract, probably going to get paid probably more than the Wolves can afford. I just don't know where he slots in right now on a team that has Ant, has Mike, has Nikhil, and now has Rob. Yeah. So yeah, to review, Terrence Shannon Jr., Josh Minot, Leonard Miller, Luka Garza, and then Jalen Clark. Luka Garza getting a real NBA contract, that's amazing. I think his minutes will be about the same as they were last year, and that's garbage time.
Have you ever looked at his per 36 minutes, like career?
If you do the sliders on a video game and then play on easy mode, he's a good basketball player, and he deserved to get an NBA contract, so I'm happy for him.
It is. So he did play almost 400 minutes, including five starts with the Detroit Pistons in 2021-22. If you just take his last 2 years with the Timberwolves and he's played in 53 games, actually, which is mostly him just like checking in for, you know, what do we call it? Cigars of time. He's played about 400 minutes as a Timberwolf. But if you extrapolate to a per 36 minutes average, Luka Garza with the Wolves, 28 points, 9 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and shooting 52% on 19 shot attempts per game. So the one game against Denver where the Wolves were out, all of their big men, Gobert, Cat, and Nas were all out. And he held his own, and they almost won that game at the end. It'd be interesting to see him, now that Kyle Anderson's gone, 10, 12 minutes, just see where he fits in. Offensive burst, some threes. I'd like to see just a little bit, just to see.
From Garza?
Just, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to my, why not let those guys, and maybe it's not October, November, December, when everyone starts the race at the same kind of speed, you know? Like, early October, every team in the league thinks they have a chance. Maybe it's those doldrums of January and February. You plug in some Leonard Miller, plug in some Luka Garza, but I do think some of those guys could get run. I just look at a really, I say it every year, we've done this pod, but like this roster for this team is just incredible. Their ceiling, this is the highest ceiling I can remember a Timberwolves roster having. But back to our Kyle Anderson, Joe Ingles thing, the floor might be a little lower because they did lose some really valuable, you know, Jordan McLaughlin was kind of a plus minus darling, and they lose him, and now they're putting a 19-year-old behind Mike. So there could be some tough nights, especially when Rob's shooting, you know, 1 of 8 in a night, that's what rookies do at 19. But I just think the wing position, and that's why I think more Leonard Miller, Josh Minot, Terrence Shannon Jr., I think that's kind of the spot where behind Jaden, if you think Nas is still like a big, right, maybe a 4, they just kind of have not a lot behind him. Joe Ingles is there too, but that's kind of the spot where it's like, do we have like a 3-4 that can play, make a little bit, rebound, protect the rim? But just saying all these names for 30 minutes here, I think
it's very exciting.
It is. And Summer League now has grown to such a level that all the games are on TV. It's like I've always said, the first year I went with my dad and my friends, it was $100 for a ticket, and it gave you courtside seats all day. And I have photos of me as a little kid. Like, I'm just sitting next to Harden and KD and Russ. Like, it's gotten bigger from now, but used to not be able to watch these games on TV, and now they're all going to be on, I think, cable. So luckily not on Bally Sports, and fans will be able to watch them. So it's going to be a really interesting week and a half. Mix in Anthony Edwards and all the other guys playing an international player, kind of ramping up for the Olympics Wednesday night. Team USA versus Team Canada kind of scrimmage. So Ant, Nikhil, Rudy's on Team France, Joe Ingles on Australia. It's going to be a really fun next 6-7 weeks of basketball for a fan base that, you know, probably wants more basketball coming off of a really fun run.
Yeah, and speaking of the Olympics and Anthony Edwards, just one last thing before we get to the random wolf of the week led by producer extraordinaire Ross. So Anthony Edwards, now you got to, with anything he says, can't just read the quote. You got to also see the body language, the smile, right? So, you know, the quote looks aggressive when he basically said that, I'll read you the quote. I'm still the nurse. He was asked about, you know, where is sort of your pecking order on this Team USA? You got LeBron James, all these alpha players. And he said, I'm still the number one option on the team. Y'all might look at it differently, but they've got to fit in around me. That's how I feel. Now, if you actually watch the exchange, he's got a smile on his face. It looks a little tongue in cheek, but you know, he's also, there's video from, I think Chris Hine has posted a couple of videos from, you know, Star Tribune Chris Hine, and not to be confused with Wolves Summer League head coach, Chris
Hines.
Hines. Yes. Who should be on the hot seat if they don't contend for a Summer League championship.
He's so good. He's such a good player development guy.
He is. But these videos that Chris Hine is putting out where it's an hour after Team USA scrimmage and practice is over, and Anthony Edwards is the only one out there with like 4 ball boys and assistant coaches. There's one video, and I know that it's an empty gym, whatever. Maybe some of it's performative. I don't know. But like, it's a 60-second video of Anthony Edwards in the right corner, the bottom corner. Just one pass after another, and he cashed like 15 three-pointers in this video without missing. He's working as hard as he ever has, or he's just putting out, you know, but he didn't put the video out.
No.
You know, a reporter did, right? So, I don't know. I just get irrationally excited watching videos of Anthony Edwards staying an hour after everyone else has left Team USA practice, cashing threes.
I think it's all, I think we should do a minute on this because it segues perfectly into what Summer League starting on Friday for about a week and a half. That is going to be okay. The young guys that we've marinated for a couple of years, or the young guys that the Wolves have now brought in, what do we have? It would be great to get something from more than one of them this season. Long term, though, they're still very much in the plans, and they're going to need two, three of those guys to pop. And then you segue over to the team's best player playing with, I mean, boil away everything you just said. It's just crazy to see that kid, who I still think of as a kid despite really growing up, he's playing on five-man rotations like with LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry. It's all those guys that I kind of grew up as a kid watching, and then it's just Ant. And that in and of itself is the biggest compliment that he can get for forcing his way onto his, you know, might not be the dream team that we all grew up watching, but it's a really, really good team full of a lot of Hall of Famers and, you know, two dozen titles. So the possession that I really liked, or the video that I geeked out over, and this is for absolute degenerates, but there's a possession where he's driving left against the select team and he gets off the ball. I think he throws it into the post to AD. And then he kind of disappears out of camera and AD swings it to the top. It swings over to Booker in the slot, and then Booker swings it to the corner, and there's Ant, and he has just teleported into the corner and just smokes a three. And if he can learn some off-ball stuff from Steve Kerr, from Spo, from, you know, Jeff Van Gundy's one of the assistant coaches, if he can pick up, I mean, he was all NBA top 10 player last year.
Yeah.
If he can pick up just some stuff from the best of the best that we've ever seen play, LeBron, Steph, KD, all these guys, that's another thing where it's like, no offense to the young guys that I'm going to watch and talk to in Vegas, if he levels up, you know, bleep you, Kyle, on a half step back, this team probably takes three steps forward.
So to that point, too, I know we spent like the first half hour of this episode just absolutely dissecting the fringes of the roster, right? Right. Are they better or worse after these offseason moves? If Dillingham can play 12 minutes and if Ingles can hit some more threes than Kyle Anderson. But the biggest reason why they would be better is Anthony Edwards turning 23 years old, playing with the best players in the world throughout an Olympic run, and then soaking in all the things that Kobe soaked in all those years ago, and LeBron and Kevin Durant. I mean, the Olympic experience and the jump is a real thing. And I'll do a deeper dive on this for a future episode, but you can look, if you look at like every 4 years and some of the Olympic runs and Kobe coming out of it in 08, I think, and then boom, championship, even in the prime of his career, and some of the experiences that the younger players have, it is like, based on his age and the experience he's going to get, there's a good chance we see another jump from him. And by the way, there's still a gap between playoff Anthony Edwards and regular season Anthony Edwards. Playoff Anthony Edwards is one of the three best players in the world. Mm-hmm. Efficiency, statistically, eye test, everything. Regular season Anthony Edwards, top 15 to 20 player in the world. So, like, what if we get a full season at age 23 of playoff Anthony Edwards, where it's not 25, 26 points a game, it's closer to 30 points a game with a lot more efficiency and locked in defense on a more regular basis and more rebounding and playmaking, all those things. Like, all due respect to Joe Ingles and Rob Dillingham, that's what gets you to 60 wins, and that's what gets you to the NBA Finals, I think.
Last year, FIBA international play last year and what that tournament was is still very much different than the Olympics and what's going to take place in Paris. But when Ant showed up to camp last summer, he looked across and he saw, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Austin Reeves, and he could tell easy early on that they don't have a guy, and I can be that guy. And he was that guy, and it led to a Western Conference Finals run and, you know, top 10 player in the league. I don't know if he looks across the locker room now and can be that guy. If he becomes that guy again for Team USA in the Olympics, I don't think we need to even have a pod. Like, the Wolves will just have won 65 games and probably a title. If he's the guy on a team with Steph, LeBron, and KD and AD and all that stuff. But there was this quote, and then we can go to Random Wolf. But Oklahoma City drafted a guy, I think his name was Dylan Jones. He's a rookie, and he played at a small school. And he had this quote that you'll love. But basically he said, I was the guy in college, and it taught me what the guy needed at the next level. So basically, it's like, I was that dude in college. I'm on a team now with Shea and Chet. I'm not that guy anymore, but I learned what that guy needs. And I think that could be big for Ant of, you might not be that guy in Paris, but you might learn what that guy, who is you, come October, needs. So whether it be off-ball movements, you know, screens, defense, just a lot of playmaking, I think he's going to learn more about what he can do for not only his teammates, but what he needs. And that's just, I'm so excited. It's going to be some of the best basketball we've ever watched and some of the best basketball and most important competitive that he's ever played in.
Yes. Okay, let's get to, without further ado here, let's get our guy, producer extraordinaire Ross Brendel.
I am excited for Random Wolf of the Week, Kyle. That's what I'm excited
They were
for.
Really mad at us last week. I want to take the blame for this, but that we didn't include the clue of, what was it, Mike Williams?
Yeah, NBA Michael Williams. Record.
Yep, that that's on my record. Okay.
That's on my
list. There are some, people, a lot of people that, because Ross kind of sold it as, this guy is irrelevant. I believe you said if you thought Kata Bates Diop was random, but as people, Michael Williams actually had three or four really good seasons in the NBA and was a big time assist guy. So people felt like you may have disrespected the legacy of Michael Williams.
Well, I am owning the free throw record that I should have put on there. However, I did mention a few times that he was all NBA defensive team, had a really nice season for the Timberwolves. So I didn't quite trash him as bad as some people claim I was, but I do apologize.
He does have a family, he's got a family.
The free throw record should have been on there. That was an absolute oversight. But at the end of the day, it kept the guys guessing. And, okay, let's be honest here very quickly. If I would have put that in there, would that have made any bit of a difference for you two?
No, not at all.
You could have said his name rhymed with Reichel Williams, and I wouldn't have known who it was. So
here's how Random Wolf of the Week works. Ross throws out a series of clues, and Kyle and I are competing against each other. We can throw out guesses whenever we want. There's a heat check guess, which doesn't count as one of our three strikes that we get. If one of us hits a third strike, the other person wins automatically. Kyle has a 15-8 lead all time in Random Wolf of the Week. The last handful of Random Wolves are Michael Williams, Kata Bates Diop, Mike James, Costa Kufos, Jared Bayless, and Naz Reid. So
two words.
We go to the Random Wolf generator algorithm, whatever you want to call it. And Ross has the clues. No Googling. If you need to control F in the previous database of Random Wolves, you are welcome to. Here we go.
No Google. Use your noodle. Clue number one, this Random Wolf of the Week played college ball on the West Coast.
Kyle Anderson.
That is not correct. Kyle Tighe. Phil Mackey.
Should I guess the same guy in back-to-back? I'm going to guess. My heat check guess is the same as last week. Lauren Woods.
I love the Lauren Woods guess. That is not correct. We're on to clue number two.
Yeah, those do not count as strikes. That's the heat check guess.
This Random Wolf of the Week, believe it or not, gentlemen, has been a McDonald's All-American. I believe this clue has come up before once or twice on Random Wolf of the Week. Take that for what you will. Maybe they had a great NBA career. Maybe they didn't.
No.
McDonald's All-American, college ball on the West Coast.
I think next week we need to rank our favorite fast food restaurants. Let's just put that in the queue for next week because I've got some thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, power
fast
rankings.
Casual count or just straight fast food?
We'll talk to the committee.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Now my mind, of course, wandered because Culver's is fast food.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Here we go.
This Random Wolf of the Week is a former first round draft pick, which, again, would make sense. A McDonald's All-American first round draft pick. This Random Wolf of the Week was not drafted by your Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay.
Not drafted by the
Most
Wolves.
Most of the good ones weren't for a long
time. First round draft pick, McDonald's All-American, West Coast College. This Random Wolf of the Week has spent the bulk of his career in the NBA's Eastern Conference. This Random Wolf of the Week was named the league's most improved player at one point in his career.
So many options here.
This Random Wolf of the Week has played for just three NBA franchises.
You, that's the second time you've used like a transition word that makes it sound like he's still in the league.
Someone's feeling himself. He's getting better at this.
You just keep listening to these clues, good old Macadac.
Okay.
This random wolf of the week once won NBA Rookie of the Month honors for the month of March.
Interesting.
This random wolf of the week was known to practice his bounce passes.
Kevin
with
Love.
Cardboard That is correct. It's Kevin
Oh
Love.
Oh my gosh. Nice work, dude.
Your facial cues nice for the on YouTube, when you said he wasn't drafted by the Wolves, you had a little dimple pop. And maybe I wonder if that's like tricky because Kevin Love was drafted by the Grizzlies and traded for OJ Mayo. So, which by the way, that trade was probably the peak of me being like, that's the worst trade of all time. And it actually was not. But
I was upset too. I was upset because it happened late in the night. I woke up the next morning and I'm like, what?
I was hosting, I'm pretty sure I was hosting live coverage on KFXN radio at the time at the Wolves draft party as a young whippersnapper. And Fred Hoiberg, I think was it Hoiberg was like their assistant GM. He addressed the crowd and lauded OJ Mayo and how we're not trading this pick. And he's our guy. You Wolves fans are going to love OJ Mayo for the next 10 to 15 years. And then boom, they trade him.
was
a great trade.
You know, like a crazy trade in the moment. But to Phil's point, it was kind of pre-internet where I think in the newspaper, the wonderful Grand Forks Herald, I think the next morning, like it might have said the Wolves drafted OJ Mayo and that was it. So like, OK. And then you like found out via telephone 4 hours later that they traded him. So those were, I guess, the good old days. Those were before Woj bombs. But that was
OJ Mayo. Did he like go to China or anything? And what was his deal?
I was a huge OJ Mayo fan.
I think he was just done. He just like was out of the league after his Milwaukee run. This is kind of a wrap for him.
He's only 36, and the Wolves have an empty roster spot. So just saying.
Dude, how about that? OJ Mayo has been out of the league for a decade, and he's younger than two Wolves rotation players.
And Kevin Love has went to NBA Finals, won an NBA Finals, still contributing. So you, what solidified it was the cardboard box deal, right? You had heard
You said bounce pass, I was just saying a West Coast. And then McDonald's, you had this little glimmer in your eye when you said he wasn't drafted by the Wolves, and it made me think. So.
Thanks, Cal.
So you got the tell on the facial expression.
I don't know what that is.
He used two words that led me to believe that this is a player that was still active. So, there's some tells being thrown out here by Ross.
I'll finish that for people who are wondering, by the way. This random wolf of the week was known to practice his bounce passes with a cardboard box and study tapes of Wes Unseld as a child.
Did you have a Beach Boys clue in there?
I did not. I was going to trick you.
So
the next clue is this random wolf of the week just may be a fan of Sheryl Crow's 1994 hit song, All I Want to Do, which draws references to Santa Monica Boulevard. Kevin Love from Santa Monica,
we
got to
get Ross a raise. It's my favorite moment of the week.
Wow. All I want to do is play Random Wolf of the Week.
Random Wolf of the Week. I'm gonna keep guessing Lauren Woods every time.
Or the funny part is gonna be I'm going to have to use him. Like I don't stray from the algorithm. Whoever the algorithm tells me, that's who I use. That's how you wind up with people like Omri Caspi and Kevin Love and Random Wolf of the Week.
So congratulations to Kyle for his 16th all-time victory in Random Wolf of the Week. All right, Kyle. Good catching up with you. Enjoy Summer League.
We'll do.
And we'll either catch up with you at Summer League or when you come back from Summer League. And we'll see if the Wolves can deliver a Las Vegas Summer League championship to the rafters of Target Center. By the way, if they win Summer League, we hang a banner, right?
100%. You lean all the way into it. You just lean into it. And you're like, you know what? Screw it. We don't have a lot of banners. Look at this. We're proud of this. It's just like when they danced on the table for the plan. Like, that was the start of something special. It's okay to be happy. That's how we're going to leave you with today. Be happy. Enjoy small wins. And go win Summer League.
Amen. This is a Timberwolves Lifestyle Podcast.